Population experts say the number of people on the globe will hit 8.5 billion in 25 years and 10 billion in 50 years. Because of greater affluence around the world, the demand for food will increase at an even greater rate. Dennis Avery is the director of global food issues for the Hudson Institute. He served as senior ag advisor to the U.S. State Department during the Reagan administration. Avery believes despite future demand for food, the world won't starve.
Our problem is not going to be famine or food shortage. The question is whether we will fail in our quest for higher yield farming and thus plow down the world's wildlife in order to get the food.
Avery says if we don't at least triple food production on current farmland, environmental damage will be widespread. He says forests will be cut down to make room for farming, and erosion-prone lands will be tilled. Avery says higher-yielding genetically modified crops and better agricultural chemicals are the only alternatives.
Tripling the yields on all of the world's existing farmland is a major job, and I'm afraid that the world is going to tie its hands behind its back in meeting this challenge by rejecting biotechnology and the pesticides and the chemical fertilizers that have given the world its first food security.
Avery says those advances led to the Green Revolution of the 1960s and 70s. Avery says that movement has already saved millions from starving. But not everyone thinks technology is the only answer. Gretchen Daly is a biological research scientist at Stanford University. She agrees food production must intensify in order to feed the growing population. But Daly argues we can't continue to farm the land the way we have been.
Food production is both the most damaging human activity to the environment and the activity that depends most critically on a healthy environment and the various services that we get from the natural environment to sustain it.
Services such as pollination from bees and butterflies, a stable global climate, and pure water. Daly calls it natural capital. She says agronomists, ecologists, and economists need to start factoring in the value of natural capital because it's the underpinnings of food production. Daly says if that natural capital is damaged, so is the ability to feed the world.
What we need to do broadly is take a comprehensive look at the world's natural capital. Whether we're able to feed people into the future is going to depend to a large extent on the natural underpinnings of production. Yet this type of capital we've basically completely ignored.
Daly says the world can no longer afford to take nature's gifts for granted. She says we're seeing the global climate undergoing change. A major pollinator, the honeybee, being decimated by a mite infestation. Topsoil being washed away from fields, and other natural capital being threatened. But Dennis Avery says progress is being made toward reducing damage to the environment. He adds the high technology that has increased food production has also made farming in the U.S. more friendly to the environment.
Well, we're increasing yields by about 1.5% a year. And not only are we raising the yields, but we're raising the sustainability of the system. Soil erosion is nearly a thing of the past on our good high-yield farms, largely because of herbicides. We're able to control weeds without plowing.
But questions remain about pesticide contamination, fertilizers' effects on lakes and streams, and the effects of genetically modified crops on other plants and insects. Norman Borlaug is a Nobel Peace Prize laureate for his work on increasing crop yields. In an interview after an address to agronomists, Borlaug said food production can and must be increased, especially in developing countries, not only to keep people fed, but to keep political stability.
It's entirely possible to double and often triple yields compared to the traditional now. And this has to be done if you're not going to have massive migration of hungry, starving people across national borders into neighboring countries in the next two decades.
When it comes to the technology and environment debate, Borlaug believes to feed all the people, some short-term sacrifices to the environment will have to be made. He says in the long term, high-yield technology will save the natural areas of the earth from the plow, not destroy its natural capital. For the Great Lakes Radio Consortium, this is Lester Graham.